sorry, Tom. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa amma ba'd. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. So those who are joining via Dimdim, if you're not able to hear, you can just try to text it or in the chat dialogue, so that we'll know whether or not you're receiving the audio feed on the web conference. Many a year ago, a very unique, for lack of a better word, story came to my ears. Something that had quite an impression on me was, sort of related to me from a talk that I heard from a graduate from Medina University, if I'm not mistaken. And the story was about two young men who lived in the New York area. Right? Two young men, they were Muslims. They lived in the New York area. Big cosmopolitan city, right? And two young men in the prime of their youth, and one of them wanted what young men want. And so they were walking on the streets, and they came past a young lady, and, the chemistry started. Right? And she beckoned to him, and one thing led to another, and she invited him up to his apartment. And his friend said that, I'll wait for you. Right? So he says, I'm willing to wait downstairs. So he's waiting. It's taking a long time, right? So he's like, what's going on? Eventually he started thinking that maybe something's gone awry. So he went and we went up the stairs, knocked on the door, and then a young child was at the door. And the young child had a bone in his mouth, and there was blood. So he's like, what's going on here? So basically he burst into the room, and when he burst into the room, he found that his young friend, I think they can hear, had basically been killed, right? And he was being, quote-unquote, eaten alive. It was a family of cannibals. A family of cannibals, and this happened to be the victim. What an unseeming, right? And this person had no idea what was in store for him that day. He was going to have a little bit fun, right? Right, have a blast, right? And he ended up being blasted. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Imagine someone actually eating, what it was, that young child or that young lady, what type of human beings they must be when they're actually chewing that flesh of that human being that was just sitting in front of them. So the same type of disgust, right? The same type of creases that are in our foreheads when we hear about a story like this, should be the same type of disgust that we feel if we were to backbite someone. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hujarat, بَعْدَ عَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ. Do any of you guys want, not want over here, the word is hub, do you love it? Relish it? Right? Take pleasure in it. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ. Do you want to eat the dead flesh of your own brother? First of all, no one would eat the flesh of someone who is dead, right? Who is of sound mind. But what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying? He's not any person, right, off the street. Your own brother. Would you like to eat it? Would you relish it? أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the very thing. No, it's not so. فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. There is a very deep-rooted disgust, dislike, right? Disdain for ever doing some the like of that. Right? That is how a Muslim should view any act of backbiting. Know that every Muslim, right, every human being, in fact, is honored in this deen of Islam. What an amazing deen it is. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Right? People talk about human rights. People talk about the nobility. They talk about human rights, but where is the nobility of man? Right? Where is that God-given providential right of nobility, of status, of elevation that is God-given? It is found in the Quran. That literally we have ennobled the son of Adam. All the children of Adam are ennobled. And thus it is not permissible, right, if you read the writings of the fuqaha, to use any part of the human body for some type of utilization, for some type of purpose. Because there, in that utilization, there is a demeaning of the human body. You're using it as an object. Right? Now one of the reasons, why can't you wear wigs? Someone will say, why can't I wear a wig? Because you're using a part of another, if it's real human hair, you're using a part of another human body. You cannot demean another human being in that way. Right? That's why we don't, for example, after we die, we don't give our bodies for organ donation. Right? Because our bodies are sacred in that way. Right? And there's a violation of that sanctity of the human body. Every single body, part of that human body is considered, you know, it's deemed holy. And also, not holy, but it's deemed, you know, sanctified. It should be respected. It should be honored. And the same way that the human body is honored, that the individual is also honored. The life of a Muslim, the honor of a Muslim, the blood of a Muslim, all of these are honored. And when a person backbites them, right, they literally take backstabbing that very individual. They're desecrating, they're ripping, they're violating that honor of another person when they don't even know it. Right? That is a vile act. It is a lowly act. And it is something that so many people engage in without ever really even realizing. Note that there will be people on the day of Qiyamah, right, who will be seeing the garden, will seeing the gardens of paradise. They will be perhaps at the gates of Jannah. Literally, these people might be at the gates of Jannah, and then people will start coming to him, right? Shatama haza wa kathaba haza. You lied to someone, you deceived someone, you slandered someone, you backbited someone, and one by one they'll say, give me that good deed. Give me that tahajjud salah. Give me that Quran that you read that one day. Give me those tears that you cried that one day. Give me that, you know, Islamic knowledge that you learned. Give me your hifz that you memorized X, Y, and Z para. Give me that salah that you gave. That time you went on Jamaat, I want all 40 days. They're gonna take it from you. They're not going to leave you. They'll literally rip it off your back. Because on that day, no one's going to leave. Who's going to leave anybody? And the same person who has seen the gates of heaven before him shall know, perhaps. Know, and when he has no good left to give, right? This is the muflis, this is the one who's bankrupt. And when he has no good left to give, right? When the Sahaba were asked about who is the muflis, they said, the one who has no dinar and dirham, right? And Rasulullah said, no, it's the person who comes on that day, right? And then the person, he had done this against that person, this against that person, they will take his good deeds. And when he has no good deeds left to give, then they will start burdening him with their bad deeds. He's going to take their zina. He spent his whole life trying to abstain from zina, he's going to have to take their zina, right? He spent his whole life trying not to drink, they said, here, take this drinking. It's downloading time, right? Free download, right? Come and put it on my back. Because I have nothing left to give. Right? It's very scary. For what? Right? Just a few words. This tongue that we have that exists between our jaws, it seems like such a small thing, but it is that very thing that can take someone into Jannah or throw them into the hellfire. Such a small organ. But a person can say, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, and boom. They were a kafir one day, a disbeliever, and now they're going to Jannah. Right? Even if they don't have action, inshallah, one day. That same tongue can utter words of kufr, and boom, that person is gone. Right now he's going to the hellfire. And so this tongue is actually every morning the parts of the body they come and they beseech the tongue, right? This is Nahnu Bika aw kama qal, right? That we're with you, right? We're dependent on you, we're contingent on you. Right? إِنْ إِسْتَقَمْتَ إِسْتَقَمْنَا وَإِنْ إِعْوَجَجْتَ إِعْوَجَجْنَا. That if you stay mustaqim, if you stay right, if you stay straight, then we'll remain straight. But if you happen to deviate, if you happen to slip, then all of us are going down. Not only are you going down, you're taking all of us down with you. Right? That tongue. Every day, your hands, your feet, right, your limbs, they're beseeching that tongue. Don't mess up today, man. Don't mess up. You have to be very careful about this tongue. The Sahaba, we can come up with our own definitions about what is ghiba, right? But the best definition is that which is given by the Sahaba, Rizwanullah ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. That was given actually by Rasulullah ﷺ to the Sahaba when they asked Rasulullah ﷺ about the ghibah. They said that he said, "Dhikruka akhaka bima yakrah," aw kama qala Rasulullah ﷺ, that you mention your brother with something that he dislikes. Right? Not only your brother, but your sister. Right? Doesn't matter. You mention them something that they would not like for that thing to be mentioned about them, that's going to fall under ghibah. And the Sahaba, they asked the intuitive question. They said, what if that is in him? Right? What if that thing that we're speaking is not a lie, it is in him? Right? He said that if it is in him, that is ghiba. If it wasn't in him, bahatta, then you've done buhtan. You've done a false accusation. You've slandered that individual. That's even worse. It's actually when the person is fat. Right? So you say, oh, you know that guy, he's fat. Right? Person's short. You say, oh, that person's short. Right? Person wears funny clothes. He really wears funny clothes. Right? So he wears funny clothes. It's true. That is ghibah. Right? That is ghibah. That Aisha radiallahu anha, she was speaking with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then she made ishara to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh, that one who is like this. Referring to Safiya, referring to the fact radiallahu ta'ala an, about how she was on the short side. Right? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing the tarbiyah of his own wives. Right? Look how he corrected her. He said, "Ya Aisha," right? He didn't slap her. He didn't get angry at her. He didn't say that you're damned to hell, right? He didn't start swearing at her, even though he was the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she made a mistake, right? He did her tarbiyah. He said, "Ya Aisha, you have said something that if it were to be thrown into the oceans, it would darken them all." Right? Look how he taught her. But at the same time, he showed the gravity of very few words. Right? Very few words. In fact, one time Rasulullah was walking with the Sahaba. He was walking with the Sahaba and there was a malodorous wind that came their way. And then Rasulullah, he informed the Sahaba, he said that this is the stench of the ghibah that people are making about the believers. So when you walk around with your topi or your niqab, right? Or you're wearing hijab, and you're wearing jilbab, or you have your amama, or you have your long beard, and then you feel people are looking at me, right? People are going to think I'm weird. People are going to think this, and then when I go behind, they're going to, and they start laughing, right? And you start feeling bad inside, right? You're taking. You're not losing anything, right? That is creating such a malodorous stench. You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like that. You're not losing anything. Allahu Akbar Kabira. We must be assiduous and very, very, very assiduously careful about ever saying about something about someone else that they would dislike. And I'll tell you the dhabita, right, in the broad rule that can save one in this situation, the number one best rule is man samata najah. That you keep quiet, you're gonna be successful. You'll be safe. Don't talk. If you don't talk, you don't get in trouble. This is a general rule. This is, you get out of slander, you get out of lying, you get out of vain talk, you get out of love, you get out of love, you get out of kizb, you get out of ghibah, you get out of so many, you get out of riya, you get out of so many things just by keeping quiet. You don't have to do anything, you actually have to stop doing something. Right? It actually takes, you're burning ATP, right, when you're using those muscles, right? You're burning, you know, adenosine triphosphate. Save some ATP, right? Save some energy, right? Why do you want your cells to be revving up their oxidative phosphorylation? Just calm down, right? Let them relax a little bit. No problem, right? The actin and myosin fibers will be happy, right? Well, we get some rest today. People have this, what we say in Urdu, bimari, right? This disease, they always want to keep on talking. You're sitting around for a little while and it's quiet and then people start feeling uncomfortable. I got to say something. Look at our mashayikh. Literally, one sheikh would go and sit with another sheikh. They sat together, everyone sitting around. They're just sitting together for like half an hour. They say, okay, jazakallah khair, assalamu alaikum, and they walk away. That's how they meet each other. You don't have anything to say, why say it? Right? You just enjoy each other's company. Right? Do zikr. You're in each other's company, you're doing zikr, and then you leave, alhamdulillah. End of story. So, this ghiba, so this is one way to actually save yourself. The second way, if that's too hard, the second way you save yourself is don't talk about a third party when they're not there. Right? That's easy. If they're not there, don't talk about it. Don't get yourself into that gray zone. Right? Because the person who gets into the gray zone, yeah, it could be riba, maybe it might not be riba. I don't know if I backbited it, I wonder if they liked it, that wasn't really my intention. You spent half the day worrying about whether or not you backbited or not. Just don't go in the gray zone. And the person who skirts that gray zone, eventually something happens and one day they slip and they might fall into the black zone. Right? So just be careful. Just don't talk about the third person when they're not there. Even if you don't think they might, oh, they wouldn't mind. They wouldn't care. How do you know? What if they did? Right? What if they did? Just be on the safe side. Know that, okay, so there are some people in the room, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them tawfiq. Alhamdulillah, they refrain from backbiting. Right? They don't actively engage in speaking or saying anything about someone else, right? And you have to be careful. Sometimes we, you know, say very like loose things, like we say something against, you know, the president that, oh, I can't believe, you know, this person said this or this person said that. I mean, all of that, you just have to be, you know, I'll tell you one very subtle thing that sometimes people don't realize is they listen to the news, right? They turn on the news. Sometimes people there, I know literally some mashayikh, they don't want to turn on the radio because, no, on the radio is such and such a person has been alleged by doing X, Y, and Z. Hasn't been confirmed, right? It's just an allegation, and they're sitting and spreading it. You think the person likes it? Person's not going to like it. And you're sitting here saying, such and such senator had this affair with that person, and this person did this to that person. Right? It's none of our business. Right? Why do we have to know? Right? Such and such person, they were caught doing X, Y, and Z. It has no bearing on your life. Right? No bearing on our life whatsoever. But all of a sudden, this person is just dumping riba. Right? In the name of news. Right? In the name of news. Oh, it's okay because it's on an ABC. Right, the seal of approval of ABC or NBC or WBBM or KMOX or NPR, that means it's okay. Because it's on there, it can't be riba. Because everyone's doing it. Everyone's doing it. It can't be wrong. You have to be careful. Right? And you never know what's going to actually come up next. So the safe way is to try to avoid it. Number one, there are some exceptions. Let me just say that there are some exceptions to riba when you can actually speak about another person in their absence and it doesn't really count as riba, right? And there's, you know, different scholars, I mean, they enumerate several. For example, لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم. If someone did zulm against you, right, and you need to vent, you need to tell someone about that zulm that was done against you, that doesn't fall under the purview, right, of riba. Or, for example, if a person is proposing to someone else and they say, come and ask you, what are you thinking about such and such a person? Are they a good person? Then you need ad-din un-nasiha, right? You have to give sincere advice. So then actually it's your responsibility that takes precedence. You should actually advise good. Is this person a good employee? I'm wondering, I'm going into business with such and such person. Should I go into business with them or not? I'm about to buy a car from such and such person. Should I start a venture with them, right? Capture venture capital and whatnot. Whatever the case may be, in those type of, when a person is doing tahqiq, when some person is going investigation, then you give some nasiha for the sake of nasiha, not to bring the other person down, that might be okay. And there's other, you know, these are some of the more common ones. There's some other ones which are, you know, less commonly known. For example, a person is like an open fasiq, right? So, you know, a person, if you say that, say there's some actress, right? Like, okay, the actress doesn't wear hijab. Well, yeah, she doesn't wear hijab, and nor does she feel bad that she doesn't wear hijab, right? Because that's just, right? Or she had, you know, made such and such movie where she did such and such. There's open disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And they do it shamelessly. When they rip that veil of shame from their own selves, right? Then they lost to a certain degree that right, that honor needs to be uplifted because they themselves are taking and throwing on the floor, right? Openly, shamelessly disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, open fisk. Right? Something which is not in their hidden life, it's not in their private life, it's an open thing. Right? A person openly has a liquor store. Right? Now, if a person still wants to do ihtiyat, right? Because who knows, you're going to fall into a gray zone, whether what was your intention. And if I would generally, you know, abstain from the exceptions, and one of the guiding rules about how you want, I shouldn't say abstain from the exceptions, one of the guiding rules about this whole thing about even falling into the realm of exceptions is that you should look at your intention. Now, a person knows when they're speaking just to get that rumor or that gossip out of their system, right? Or to drag that person down. Or there's jealousy inside. You know it to yourself, right? And the second thing is that you should see whether or not there's some type of need. So, for example, it is permissible, for example, for you to go to a scholar if you know someone else is doing something wrong, right? And to go to a scholar and say that, you know, what is the ruling concerning such and such. But in that situation, there's no need to mention the person's name, right? You can say, if someone was doing X, Y, and Z, then what would the ruling be, right? There's no need there, so don't mention it. Yes, it is permissible, for example, if there is someone who has power over someone else. Like there's a child, you know he's dating a girl. He's not going to stop if you tell him, right? So you go and tell his parents. That's not ghiba. Right? That's not considered ghibah because you're informing someone who is in a position of authority to stop some type of act that is being a transgression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not ghibah, right? That's actually an exception to the rule. But if you don't have to mention the person's name, right? Don't mention the person's name. So limit it to the extent that is necessary, right? Take the careful approach. So the person says, oh, you know what? Maybe I'm going to go tell the president of the MSA what everyone in the MSA is doing. As if he's going to do anything about it. Right, and the process of that you download many extra things right on the side. It's all unnecessary. So you have to be very careful. So alhamdulillah, there are some people, inshallah, in the crowd today who are very assiduous about staying away from ghibah. Right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them tawfiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected them that they don't use their tongue in that way. Know that sometimes the next step is the person who listens to ghibah. The person who listens to ghibah is like the one who is doing ghibah. If you have the strength, if you have the bravado to stand up and say, stop, no, don't say that about someone else, then you should do so. In fact, the person who defends the honor of his brother, that person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make Jannah upon him on the day of Qiyamah. Take strength and it's extremely hard, especially when in front of friends, so on and so forth. If you cannot do that, if you do not have that strength, then just remove yourself from that company, right? Change the topic. Change it to something else. You're saying, dude, I don't want to talk about this kind of stuff, right? So you are making an active effort to go somewhere else. And whatever you happen to have heard over this, you know, inadvertently, make istighfar for it, make dua for that other person, right? So on and so forth. Then there's this whole discussion about what do you do if you've already done ghibah, right? What do you do if you've already done ghibah? There's actually some very complicated algorithms about how you work through this, given the situation, in the interest of time, because we also have to do the Arabic class. And I mean, is Isha still 7:30? Yeah. Still 7:30, so okay, we'll keep it short. What you do is, if you think that it is something that will not cause fitna, right? Something that will not create a rift between you, go and tell the person themselves, right? That I said X, Y, and Z. Please forgive me, right? And get it forgiven. If it's forgiven, then you're off the hook, right? Or at least you ask for forgiveness. If you're thinking it will create some type of fitna, some type of bad feelings, then just go to that person and ask a general forgiveness. You don't have to mention what you said. You said, if I've ever done anything to you, brother, right? Or if I've ever done anything to you, sister, please let me go. And it's good to do this from time to time with our parents, with our siblings, with our friends, because it clears us with our hukukul ibad, right? Let the other person sign a release. Right? They release you, now you don't have a lien on you now, right? On the day of Qiyamah, you're free. So time to time, you want to do this. Now, what happens is the person is no longer accessible. You don't know where they are. That person is perhaps passed away. Then what ulama sometimes say is that you should get, first of all, make istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Also try to make the dua that, Ya Allah, if there's any huququl ibad that are outstanding, right? I do not have the ability to do, you know, to mend these things, but give them so much on the day of qiyamah that they don't come after me, right? That you basically relieve me of this burden. If Allah wants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do anything. But technically, huququl ibad have to be, and the rights of the slaves have to be settled between themselves, right? The rights between man and God, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive. But if there's any right between two human beings, then they gotta duke it out. That's the general principle, right? Now, if there's, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an exception, quote unquote, then that's in the realm of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do, and there's no one to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what to do and how to do it. And the other thing sometimes they advise is that you give a certain amount in sadaqah, right? So you pay a penalty, right? You get fined for your ghibah. That will also hit the nafs. When you have to give $20 every time you do ghibah, your mouth will shut very fast, right? Very quickly. But if you don't, you give some sadaqah, and the niyyah that you give it is that you're basically saying, on the day of qiyamah, I know this guy is coming after me, right? So I'm just basically going to give this to them, right? Basically, I'm going to give this to them. So that's one of the, some of the things that a person can do to try to rectify that situation. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who have pure tongues and who are pure in their action, and help us to abstain in every way, shape, and form from both hearing ghiba and from both, you know, engaging in ghiba, in either by saying it or by hearing it, and give us the fortitude and strength to stand up and tell people to stop if that situation should so present itself before us. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So we'll spend some time in dhikr for those who can stay. We'll try to make it short because salah is not too long away.